Hello, and welcome to episode 165 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help push you outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics, so if there's anything you'd like to hear more about, let us know. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Lindsay and Laura. Every now and then, we'd like to introduce you to one of Outlander Travel's amazingly talented and knowledgeable agents. A few weeks ago, we introduced you to Anna, and today we are excited to welcome another one of our newest Disney-focused agents, Kristen. Hi, Kristen!
Hi.
Kristen's love to plan travel began at a young age. In middle school, her dad gave her the job of planning a cruise for her family of six, which I think is a terrible thing for a father to do, by the way. No pressure. That's when her passion began. It has always been her dream to plan other families' vacations, and her specialty is in planning trips to Walt Disney World Resort. She started going to Walt Disney World as a small child and has been going back as often as possible. As a mom now, she understands how taking trips is a great way of making memories that will last a lifetime. She's traveled and planned vacations throughout the United States, and she has a large extended family and enjoys planning the trips they take together. So let's start with the very basic vacation question. Of all those trips that you've taken, what is your most treasured vacation memory?
Actually, Disney.
Well, which time, though?
I know, which time. Well, you know, my parents started taking us when we were pretty little, and there's four of us. And my mother, one year, decided to take the four of us on her own to Disney. And that would probably be one of my most memorable trips. I was about five, and it was just incredible. My brother got sick right before the trip, had to fly solo, so us girls went, and then he met us down there. But it was just great. I mean, we still joke that my oldest sister had to carry him around the park during the fireworks, and it hurt her back, and she was, you know. But it was great. I have a great picture that I keep actually on my nightstand of the four of us on the monorail, and it's just one of my most treasured pictures that I have of the four of us together. We're super close family now still, so we love to travel any opportunity we get together.
So if you were five, how old were they? What was the range?
My oldest was 13. I believe is what she confirmed today. I had to ask to make sure. But that could be right. She would have been, because we're 10 years apart.
So she would have been 15.
So she was probably closer to like 14 or 15 at the time, because that's probably a young, maybe 5 and a half. But there's 2 years after her is my next sister, and then my brother and I are about 6 years apart. So, you know.
So you were the baby.
I was the baby.
Okay. So then after that trip, saying that was your most memorable, I mean, that's kind of a tough thing to do. A single parent, I mean, she might not have been a single parent, but on her own, taking four children to Walt Disney World, would you recommend doing that?
I think with proper planning, perhaps. My dad couldn't go, and she just saw it as a great opportunity to take us. And so she did. She was very good. She's a very good woman like that. When we were younger, she always took us on all kinds of adventures. So,
where did you live?
We live in High Point, North Carolina.
And that's where you traveled to?
Yep. We flew. She said it was so, it was like maybe $1,000 for the whole, you know, good old day. We're a lot cheaper, but it was super fun. And then we went, you know, years later, different times, and just really enjoyed it.
That wasn't your first time to Walt Disney World, right? You guys had already been gone.
No, I think I was maybe like two or three the first time we went. I don't remember that as much, but.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. I'm impressed that you remember the one from when you were five.
We're all a bunch of Disney lovers here, but what is it about Disney that draws you specifically? What do you love?
Oh, I don't know where to begin. I love that it kind of takes you away from the norm. It takes you into a different world. It kind of gives you the chance to not be in the everyday life. You get to live in kind of like a fantasy world of just amazing experiences and fun, and just it's just totally different than your everyday life. I don't know. It's hard to describe it.
Because vacation's a reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to joke that it didn't seem right that you could actually drive there. You should have to fly there because it doesn't seem, you have to exit the world and come back. It doesn't seem like you should be able to drive, you know?
That, take like the flight, like just like Peter Pan.
Yeah, exactly. And you should be able to land like right next to the park and walk out, like in Las Vegas, like right next to it.
You know, one of the first things that I remember from going to Disney was the parking, though. And it was, you know, you're parked in Mickey, or you're parked in Pluto, or you're, and as, that was a, you know, it was like you were already having fun before you went to the park.
And so
you're parked in Huey, you're parked in Oak.
Those tram drivers could be stand-up comedians. Yeah. So good. And some of my best memories are of the jokes that they tell. So there's something to be said about driving in. I don't know. I'm with you, though. If they could just helicopter me in,
yes,
that would be great.
Yeah. It's nice and it's nice and convenient that you can drive in, but it just feels like someplace where you have to, like, take a rocket ship or something.
Oh, or if you could, you know, the train could pick you up and you could arrive.
Yes. Yes, that would be very cool. So, Kristen,
I'm going to operate the monorail.
Why are we not charging
you? I'm not a monorail driver. Can I drive the monorail?
Kristen, do you remember what resort you stayed at back then for that trip?
We actually stayed off property during that time. I guess that's what made it a little bit. We actually stayed off property at that time. I know that particular experience we did. And that's probably why it was a little bit more affordable back in the early 90s. But I mean, I can remember riding. We would park at Magic Kingdom and take the tram in, and it was a whole different experience than staying on property versus off property. So
then now, when you have clients who are, you know, saying, "Well, we would stay off property to save some money," do you steer them away from that, or do you see the value in it?
We have friends that maybe have points rewards off property that they can use at a hotel, but I always recommend on site. I think it makes the experience way more magical, a little bit more personable. There's just so many extras that Disney has to offer. And if you want the true experience of being taken away, I think that's the better way to do it, is to stay on property, because you really are submerged in Disney.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely the way to go.
Trying to get the most magical hours out of your day too.
Exactly. Yeah, you can stay longer, go early. To get to the park is a whole lot quicker than when you have to drive and, you know, wait in Goofy 7 to get picked up by the tram and then taken in. It's a whole lot. It's a little bit quicker, and you know, once you're done, you're ready to go home. So it's a little bit easier just to get on the bus on the monorail and head to your resort.
Yeah. It's also easier if you have younger kids to.
Absolutely.
Do a midday break, you know, to kind of come and do after lunch, and then when it's hottest to go back and do naps and play in the pool and, you know, have some ice cream or whatever, and then come back around 3 or 4 when things are a little bit quieter.
Yeah,
I agree.
You never know who the tantrum is going to come from.
It could be me. Yes, we've definitely learned that now, that going without children and going with children are a little bit of a different experience. It's great, though. I mean, we really have enjoyed seeing the magic and the memories through our children's eyes. I mean, it's been really incredible just to see that. See that they get excited about it, and the things that make them smile and laugh make me smile and laugh, and it's a great connection. I think that's the cool thing about traveling anywhere, but to Disney, it's just a family time, and that's what we enjoy, is just having that family time where we get daddy to ourselves. You know, it's mommy and daddy and kids, or you know, whatever, if grandma gets to come or grandpa, but it's great. It's just fun.
So do you have like a favorite ride that you liked as a child that you loved to share with your kids? Like, what was your most favorite thing?
Space Mountain. Space Mountain and Splash Mountain. I love them. love them. I can remember riding Space Mountain before it had the better seats, you know, where you were in train cars. It's a little bit more scarier then. But I can remember riding that, and I still love it now. And now my youngest, this past September, was actually big enough to ride it for the first time, and that was really cool because she got to experience one of my rides.
Did she like it?
She loved it. Of course.
That's always a big risk. You never know, that first like intense roller coaster can be
exactly, which like to build up to, so that way We don't want to have a scare the first day.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, wow. So have you, I'm a chicken with space knowledge. I really am. I always feel like I'm really short, but I still feel like I'm going to get hit in the head. And I think it's because I saw it with the lights on once. And I'm
yeah, those tracks are frighteningly close together if you've seen it with the lights on. Yeah, that's why they don't want you to see it.
Space Mountain in Disneyland Paris was amazing. That ride, that you would probably like better because it had the higher backs. So you're talking about the little train car. Mm-hmm. So it's got like the higher with the things that come, like the rock and roll coaster. So it's more like that. And it I felt so much better. I don't know if it's because I'm a chicken. I think it's.
Oh, <You're> secure. they've come a long way.
So your two favorite attractions are in Magic Kingdom. Does that mean Magic Kingdom is your favorite park?
It is. I love it. I love the feel of Main Street. I love just the whole atmosphere. It's just amazing. And there's so much to do. I mean, whether or not you're a thrill seeker or not, there's more than enough things for you to do. And just the characters that you get to meet along the way makes an added bonus. Mm-hmm. I just really love it there.
Yeah, the one drawback to that park for me is food. The restaurants are...
Food?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just want more.
That's agreeable.
Yeah.
We've fallen in love with the Be Our Guest restaurant for dinner. Mm-hmm. I actually like it for breakfast a lot too. But the dinner is phenomenal. I highly recommend it. Anybody to get a dining reservation there. I like it because you can order off the menu. You can get a really nice steak and it's not a buffet. It's a little bit different than the normal character dinings. And you get to meet Beast. So that's really cool for us.
You've been doing things to try and make the dining better. I mean, like Skipper's Canteen is pretty good. They've changed that menu several times.
That is true.
It is convenient enough if you're a food snob like us to hop on the monorail and go check out, or even get on the boat and go over, which is what I did the last trip, and went over and checked out the brand new place to eat it over by Wilderness Lodge. So,
yeah, I think
you just...
For us, that's easy. I think for your first or second time Disney person, that's more challenging to try and time it. You know, we have gone so many times that we feel this sense about when to leave a park and what, you know, but it's a lot of pressure for a newbie, you know, to try and make sure they're out of the park, because it's one thing to think, okay, I need to head out at 4:00. But if you're in the back of the park, you're not really heading out at 4:00. You're heading out at like 4:45 by the time you get to the front. And then you're like, oh, we're not going to make it.
Yeah. Depends on what time of year it is.
Yeah,
there's been times where it takes me an hour to get from the castle to the gate.
Yeah. Those are the times I do not want to be there. So, okay. So Magic Kingdom is your favorite park. What's your second favorite? If Magic Kingdom were closed when you went.
Oh, this is a toss up between, we've really grown to love Animal Kingdom. We're big, aquarium zoo people. So that has really, we've grown to really enjoy that. My kids love the little wilderness pack that you can do there, the little booklet. Mm-hmm. And they think that's so fun. And they love to just tour it, just go around doing stuff. I love the new Pandora. Mm-hmm. I love, love, love Flight of Passage. Oh my goodness. I would get on it right now if I could. It was amazing. That would probably be my new favorite ride. That they've got there. But we just enjoy just exploring it. I mean, the dinosaur land's great. They get to go on the little, climb up in the T-Rex and go through the boneyard and stuff. It's just been really fun.
Yeah. I see. My kids really like Animal Kingdom a lot or they did when they were younger because of the playground breaks. They really love, it's much more interactive than you realize it is until you have very, very small children with the, the wilderness guides around with the things that they'll talk, you know, they'll have a spider in a box or whatever. And, you know, they'll talk about these animals and it's sort of just, you just pop upon it. It's not, you know, it's not really planned. You just sort of find these people accidentally and learn something. So
I go get all my wilderness explorer badges. I've never done that.
It's really fun. It's a great little way to learn about the land and the area and what animals they have at Animal Kingdom. It's fun. The kids really enjoy it, and adults too.
The only two badges I have are from Pandora. I got those because, because I just never bothered to do it before. And it was so in my face in Pandora for some reason. I don't know. So I was like, okay, I'll take the book. So I got two badges. Yeah.
Did you sign up with those Facebook messages from Pandora when you were in there?
My husband did actually. And he got a little bit of tidbits, little information or whatever.
It was strange to me. And I don't know because it was just a detriment to my service, my provider shall remain nameless, but I was getting, they would show up later after I'd left the park. I would get,
thanks.
I'm like, what's going on?
So I didn't even know about that. So what, Facebook Messenger will send you information about whatever you're standing near? Is that?
You have to sign up, and then it's like one of the scientists, I think, is talking to you. Like, she becomes your friend.
Exactly for detail what he did, but yeah, I think I've got it posted there where you can log in.
I had a girl, and it was like a girl that was texting me it was on Facebook Messenger, but it was really neat. It was just not a,
yeah, they must have added that after I saw it, because I didn't see that. That's really cool. And it'd be fun for kids who have Facebook, you know, if they do. Most kids don't anymore.
It's Explore Pandora, and it's got a picture of a scientist, and it actually says fictional character, so you know that it's a, hi, Lindsay, I'm Fitzsimti Buckley, the lead PCI scientist for tracking and cataloging nature and wildlife here in Pandora. Are you excited to explore the Valley of Morara? And I know I'm saying that wrong, but. She sends like pictures of things, and it, you guys can't.
So then, does that replace? Do they no longer have actors wandering around to tell you stuff, or?
Oh, they still had the actors there when I was there. Yeah.
Okay.
And the one thing I noticed this past trip that I didn't see when I was there the first time were music acts. There were two different music acts. I don't know if I just noticed them, like the drum guys.
Yeah, we saw them at night when they were glowing. That was incredible.
That was amazing. And then there was another one I caught, like a tail end, but I had not noticed them before. And I don't know if it was because it was August and it was really busy first time I was there, and just wasn't. I spent all my time in line to ride again.
I know. We tried that too.
I had it all planned out, and I had, you know, I had Fast Pass, and then I had to change my travel dates. And so then, of course, I had no Fast Pass, and, you know, I got to enjoy them. But I will say, going through that standby line is so worth it for Flights of Passage, because you get to see some incredible stuff that you don't get to see in the Fast Pass lane.
Yeah.
The floating tank, the tank.
Yeah. 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 I think that's totally worth seeing. A lot of that indoor stuff is really, really worth seeing one time. So, okay. So last week we actually talked about, when you weren't here with us, Kristen, we talked about, our not bucket list for next year, but sort of our, what's the word I'm looking for? It's our, resolutions, travel resolutions for next year, for 2018. So do you have any travel resolutions for you and your family?
Like trips for us to take? Mm-hmm.
What you intend to do next year with your travel budget.
Not sure yet. We have not nailed that down yet, surprisingly. I mean, of course I want to go to Disney. I don't know. We really like getting all of the siblings and grandchildren together, so maybe a big beach trip at some point. Not 100% sure just yet.
Have you been to Disneyland before?
No, I have not. My husband has, but I have not.
Really? Why did he get to go and you didn't?
He lived in Arizona.
Okay.
And so they were closer that way when he lived there, and so they got to go.
That makes sense. It's probably changed a bit since he's last seen it. So I think
it's been a while.
We should put that on your travel resolution for next year. I think any Disney fan has to go.
Let's make it happen.
Absolutely.
I go tonight, whatever.
So do you have any other thoughts about your bigger goals for your travel career? I mean, obviously selling Disney is a big part of what you do now, but are there other areas of the world you're wanting to learn more about, or do you have big goals?
Well, I like cruising, so probably cruising. Whether it be Disney cruises or other cruise lines would probably be a good next venture for me that I would feel comfortable doing. But
taking it one step at a time.
Whatever,
it's good.
Whatever somebody brings my way,
make it happen. Well, you know, and Adventures by Disney has started doing a river cruise too. So that might be a fun. Mm-hmm.
I would love to do that myself, actually.
Me too.
Yes.
Let's go.
Yeah, yes. There's a food wine centered one too.
Yep. Yep. I think the Christmas Markets cruise is my next big goal. I really want to do that. So we shall see. Well, that is our show for this week. Thank you so much to Kristen for joining us. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com, then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast. On behalf of Laura, Lindsay, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly!